Well, thank you, ladies. Let there be peace on earth. Yeah, it's amazing as we think about God's plan, and even these days of unleavened bread and how they all fit into that, that one day certainly Jesus Christ will bring peace to this earth. But we've all heard that question, a very familiar question, why are we here? And we can begin by answering that familiar question. Well, we're here because God told us to be here. Pretty simple. We're here because we're obeying God's word. We're obeying his instruction. Let's turn to Leviticus 23, if you would. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 4. It says, these are the feast days of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And we did that. A week ago, we came together on the first day of unleavened bread to worship God, to be instructed. And then it says, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And here we are. And this week, I don't know about for you, but this week certainly flew by. Here we are already on the seventh day. But in verse 2 of Leviticus 23, it says, speak to the children of Israel, Moses getting instruction here, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, not our feast, but God's feast, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. So God has invited us here at his feast, special time, that we can begin to understand how God is working with us, through us, his Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. But being a Christian is all about obedience to God. That's what a Christian does. A Christian obeys God. Not just obedience in a physical sense, not just to appear to be a Christian, but to be a Christian. Be a Christian in a spiritual sense. We must, as Christians, obey and love God with all of our hearts, our soul, and our might, as we're instructed in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And we're also instructed to teach this to our children. God's word, God's way of life, God's commandments, God's holy days, God's plan, to teach them to our children as well. The world, as we know, and we're told in Revelation 12:9, the whole world is deceived by Satan. The whole world. Satan does a great job at what he does. And he has been able to confuse people, cause people to take their focus off of God, but to deceive people into thinking that sin does not exist anymore. Sin is no big deal. Does it exist? If you ask a lot of people out in the world today, they'll tell you no. But we know that's not true. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Certainly sin exists today. Something very prominent in the world. But we can deceive ourselves into thinking we have no sin, or we're good. We have no problems. Deception is a tool of the devil. The title of my message this morning is very simple. I could go ahead and give us 37 different points or guidelines to overcome sin. But God's word is very simple. And the title of my message is Submit to God and Resist the Devil. If we do those two things, we won't fall into sin. We won't allow sin to take over or to start thinking that sin is harmless. But submit to God, resist the devil. 1 John 2, we're right here. We'll go to 1 John 2 and in verse 1. 1 John 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And we've read earlier, Jesus Christ walked in the light. He wasn't in the darkness. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And Jesus Christ is that light, that knowledge of what sin is and how terrible sin is. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's our world today. They've been blinded by deception, by Satan doing things totally contrary to God's law. We go on in verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we're told to not get caught up in what's going on in the world. And if we submit to God and resist the devil, we can certainly do that because we will be able to tell the difference. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And in verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, a warning here that Jesus Christ was giving his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Be aware of what's around you, of your surroundings, of what you're getting yourself involved in, what you're listening to, what you're hearing. To always be aware and be mindful of that. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. We cannot hide sin from God. No matter how hard we try, we can't. Sin has a way of surfacing. Maybe not now, but one day, sometime it will surface. We will be caught up. Even in the inner rooms, it says here, the inner room in the middle of a house and people were whispering. God heard that. It wasn't in secret. It wasn't something God wasn't privy to. He heard that. Even though it was the most private room in the house and they were sneaking around and whispering, God knew what was going on. And that's what he knows as far as our lives. Nothing we do is hidden from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, all of those sins that we've suppressed, that we thought we hid, that we thought we got away with, will come to light. The hidden things of the darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. And then each one's praise will come from God. We will be judged on how we lived our life, on the things we did. God will judge our motives, and he will judge why we did the things we did. And we, nobody else except we, personally, will be accountable for those things and what we do. Matthew 16. That's why these days of unleavened bread are so important, because they help us to really focus on one thing. And that one thing is sin. And how we can learn to overcome, find ways to remove it, find ways to draw closer to God, rely on him and go to him and ask for his help. Matthew 16 and verse 5. Matthew 16 and verse 5. It says, and when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware, again, warning them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Again, they weren't focused on the spiritual part here. They were focused on the physical bread. And that's not what Jesus Christ was talking about. But when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? That's not what I'm talking about, he said. In verse 9, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, But you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees, of what they were teaching that was contrary to God, that wasn't the truth. To be aware of that and not get caught up in that. All of the traditions, all of the things that may sound good, but be aware of what we allow in our minds. That we don't need to allow everything in. We don't need to know everything. We do need to know what God teaches us. A little leaven, as we hear many times during the days of unleavened bread, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That little tiny sin can cause us major, major problems. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We deal with a lot of things. As we try to live a Christian life, as we try to maintain our relationship with God, there are all sorts of distractions, all sorts of things we deal with. But to be aware and test the spirits, to go back and look at Scripture, is this what God says? Is this what God wants me to learn? But to test those spirits, we must allow God's Holy Spirit to guide us in our spiritual education. Staying strong by taking in and digesting all of the spiritual food that God gives us. All of the Bible study we do. All of these sermons and messages we hear. All of the conversations we have with brethren is spiritual food. And we take that all in. And we grow from it and we get strong from it. And God provides all of that for us. There is only one God and one Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We were all called by the same God. We were all given a gospel. We were given the blessing of having our minds open to understand God's plan and His gospel. One plan, one gospel. That's what God is giving us. He doesn't confuse us by giving us several different doctrines and plans and everything else. He has one plan for mankind. And He shared that with us. And if we stay close with Him, if we bond with God, if we rely on Him, we can stay focused on this plan. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." As we learn, as we grow spiritually, as we grow as Christians, we mature and we begin to understand more. And in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God expects that from you and I, that we exercise his word, that we exercise our calling to be able to discern good and evil. So we know what sin is without a doubt. We don't get sidetracked. We don't get pulled in. We must never forget the difference between good and evil. There is no gray area when it comes to sin. There's not just a little bit of sin. Sin is sin. And we can't convince ourselves that it's just a little one. Doesn't really matter. If we break God's law, we break God's law. Simple as that. If we break it a little bit, or we break it a lot, we've still broken God's law. And we need to understand that. Ephesians chapter 4. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. And again, these days, these holy days, these days of unleavened bread, give us that new beginning every year to think more about this and to grow and to become that new man, to stay focused on that and to continue towards that goal. Putting on the new man, putting sin out of our lives and allowing ourselves to be led by God's Holy Spirit. That's what we get out of these days. That's what we understand as we talk about God's plan. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, do not quench the Spirit, but allow God through that gift that he's given us. And we'll be talking more about that as we get closer to Pentecost, but that gift of his Holy Spirit that he's given us to help us, as Christ said, he would send the Comforter, he would send the Helper. Speaking of God's Holy Spirit. So it's there for us as a gift to use. And hopefully we all use it. Romans 3, if you turn with me there. Romans 3. Romans 3 and in verse 21. Romans 3 and in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned. And I think we need to be reminded of that as well. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all done it. We have all sinned. We are all partly responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. He took my sins upon himself. He took your sins upon himself and removed that death penalty from us. We believe through our faith that Christ came in the flesh and took that death penalty upon himself to give us life. That was his purpose. That was why he was sent. And we're all a part of his death. These past 7 days, we've eaten unleavened bread. And as I said earlier, we did it for a purpose. And that purpose is because God told us to. For a reason, as part of his plan. Because we can see his plan coming together and how everything fits together and makes sense. Dr. Ward says that often in our classes, that God's word is the only thing that makes sense. Nothing else does. Matthew 19 tells us a story of a rich young man. He's got it all. Got everything he needs, everything he ever wanted. So he asks Jesus Christ, what do I need to do to have eternal life? What do I need to do? He was told to keep the commandments. Well, I've done that. That was his answer. I've done that all my life. He did it physically. But what was in his heart? Because when he was told an answer to his question about what do I have to do to gain eternal life, and Christ told him, give all that you have to the poor. Share what you have. Don't rely on these physical things. Don't get caught up in all of this that's going on around you. Look to me. Depend on me. Trust me. And he walked away. Couldn't do it. Could not give up what he had had because all of these things meant so much to him. And he couldn't follow that advice. He didn't have that faith. And that's what God is trying to help us to understand. If we have that faith, that relationship, that dependence on him, we will enter the kingdom of God. We trust him. We seek him. We've all faced different things in life that we couldn't overcome. We've all had trials and difficulties. You know, when you see, I see a commercial on TV every once in a while where this person has quit smoking. And he just, at the end of it, he says, I can't believe I'm a non-smoker. And I can tell you as a former smoker how it feels to be a non-smoker and how fantastic it is to not have to rely on the nicotine. But I had to trust God. I had to put my faith in God because I had worked on that for years to overcome. And it never came. And I'm sure many of you can say the same thing with trials or things that you've tried to overcome. But once we turn it over to God, once we say, you know what? I can't do this, God, but you can. And we overcome it. Because of his help, because we turned ourselves over to him and we trust him. And it makes a difference. The world around us has been taken over with sin. The world around us has turned their back on God. The world around us mostly believes there's no such thing as sin anymore. This is 2016. We move way beyond that. That was back in the old days. That was Old Testament stuff. But we know better than that. Sin can appear to be harmless. Even sometimes sin can appear to be your friend. Come on. Just do it once. Won't hurt you. Feel good. I always think about the city of Las Vegas. Never been there. Don't know if I want to go there. I've heard some good things about it. Fantastic hotels. Beautiful structures. Bright lights. Goes 24/7. But that city was built for a purpose, and that was to take your money. That's why it was built. To take people's money. And how does it lure them in? With the big hotels. with the bright lights. I've talked to people who have went there and had a fantastic vacation. But what about all of the people that go there and spend their last nickel because they're convinced they're going to hit the big one? And they're sucked in by all of this. What's their advertisement about Vegas? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That should be a flag for any Christian that is thinking clearly at all. Probably shouldn't go there. But it's bright lights, beautiful buildings. Come on. That's all sin can do. And we can be pulled in if we're not careful. It's funny because a combination of people, I did a little history on that, and Las Vegas initially was built up by local business owners, Mormon financiers, and mafia crime lords. That's quite a combination. But they were looking at, I'm sure they were looking at the profits that could be had there. But we know much pain and suffering. We've seen it. We've seen what sin can do and the pain and sorrow it can cause. And many of God's people, especially around the holy days, around Passover, the feast, stress levels rise. Trials become sometimes bigger and more often. Satan's influence on us can cause us to lose focus if we don't turn around and rely on God. Satan will do whatever he can. We can't say that enough. Satan will do whatever he can to cause us to give up, to turn around and go the other way, or to accept sin. And even though overcoming sin may at times seem impossible, struggle with this year after year, am I ever going to be able to overcome it? We don't want to give up yet. Because if we read Scripture correctly, we can overcome sin and get sin out of our lives from influencing us. And we can do that by just what I said in the title of my message, submit to God and resist the devil. Two things that we can all do. Two things that will give us peace, that will give us a relationship with God that we all long for, and we'll put that wall up between us and Satan that we all long for. We have many examples of God's people in the Bible, just like you and me. People that God used to do a work, to do certain things. And they, at the same time, learned valuable lessons. Noah was given a job. How would you like to have that job? I mean, you know, if God told me, okay, you know, I need to go help this senior person across the street, I can handle that. But Mike, could you build a ship and bring in all these animals? Noah was given quite a task. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And you wonder why. Why was Noah given this responsibility? Well, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And this is long after sin had entered, that Adam and Eve had been removed from the Garden of Eden. Satan had done his thing. But in verse 5 it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Things hadn't gotten any better. They continued to go downhill. "And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually," talking about man. Isn't that amazing? Every thought was evil. And in verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And in verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. What does it take to get our Creator God to say those things, to feel that way? Sin. But in verse 8, and hopefully your name or my name could be here instead of Noah's. But in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man made a difference. Made a difference, and God changed his mind. I'm not going to destroy all of mankind. I'm going to try something else. Because of this one man, because he submits to me, because he resists the devil, we have that relationship. So because of Noah, God did not destroy his creation. We had another chance. Abraham was another one. And I always look at our calling to be just like Abraham. Abraham was doing well. Very wealthy, prominent. Things were good. Comfortable in the neighborhood, with the neighbors, family around, everything was okay. And then one day God says, just like he did in our calling, because we were comfortable with our friends, with what we were doing, how we were doing it. We were very comfortable. And then one day God says, I want you to go to a place I've prepared for you. I'll show you. In Abraham's case, it was another land. In our case, it was new truth, new knowledge of understanding who God is and understanding why the way we're living our life isn't the way we should be living it. But God took us, just like he did Abraham, to a new place. And he told Abraham he would bless him. And through his faith, Abraham did. And Abraham made mistakes, like we do. He made some bad choices. And he disobeyed God. But he repented. And grew in his faith until one day God said, now I know. I know where your faith is. That you trust me. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Genesis 12. In verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a change. What a change in life. And then Genesis 22. All of these things Abraham went to in Genesis 22. And in verse 10. Abraham was told to go sacrifice his promised son. To take his life. After he had waited and his wife waited for years for this child. And then he was told to sacrifice him. And in verse 10, Genesis 22 and verse 10. It said, and Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. He was going to obey God. Above everything else. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What an amazing testament to Abraham's faith. But that didn't just happen. Abraham grew in faith just like we do. We have more faith now than we did when we were first called. Our faith grows. Our reliance on God grows. Our dependability, our trust grows. And through these days of unleavened bread, that God reminds us every year to keep sin out of our life, to stay focused on Him, to stay close to Him, and to keep that sin out of our lives. What an amazing plan God has. And these holy days are such a blessing to us. The world goes on. The world goes on. And it will, until the day Jesus Christ returns and begins to straighten things out. And we go on, one day at a time, obeying God, increasing in our faith, increasing in our relationship, our love for God and Christ and one another, and to understand more and more what God is doing as He called us and took us out of one place and moved us to another, took us out of that physical mess we were in, and brought us into spiritual understanding so that we can see the reward that He has for us. But this day, this week, these 7 days of unleavened bread, how fantastic they are. And I hope we can all continue all through the year and all through the rest of our lives just understanding sin is unacceptable. We can't do it. We have to resist it. But as we submit ourselves to God more and more, the resisting will become much, much easier, because we will grow in that power that God's given us, that power we have through His Holy Spirit, that strength that He's given us, and that ability, just as Jesus Christ did, "Get behind me, Satan." We can say the same thing. So let's take these days and just embrace them and be thankful of how blessed we are that we are here on this fantastic holy day. God's day, God's feast day, as it says in Leviticus 23. Not ours. God has invited us here. God has called us here. We're here for a purpose. For God's purpose. So let's all have a fantastic lunch. Come back this afternoon and enjoy the rest of the day, especially together. It's always such a fine day when we can come together and just have these days and be here before the very throne of God, thanking Him and learning more about His ways. And again, being together and sharing our experiences all through these years in God's church, since He's called us, with each other and growing and depending on one another. So we will see you all back here at 2:30.
As Mr. Joseph said, just a reminder that services will start at 2:30.